Amen.
You know why that's a good testimony? Well, that's a cop out. Everybody can say that. No, it's a perfect testimony. Anybody know that? Because most people don't even say that much. Huh? Most people don't say that much when they get up in the morning. I mean, Sally got here before all of y'all. Right? Praise the Lord. It sure does. I was just thinking how much better you were this morning. Jack called me and said, hey, I'm setting this thing up. And I thought, well, glory to God, somebody cares enough to show up. You know? I mean, isn't that a miracle that anybody would show up? Why would anybody show up? Amen. Y'all having fun yet? You should be. Church should be fun. It shouldn't be, you know, scary. Hallelujah. Unless you're not saved, then it should be scary. Susan. Yahoo! Yippee! 3.5 months. You've been hiding this one. Amen. I'm surprised Tim didn't spill. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Father, we thank you for this baby. It's a good, this is going to be a fun one. Amen. All right. God's faithful. Isn't he, Laura? Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's good. That is so good because people feel like they're floating away. Amen? Yeah? You got the waves just everywhere. Waves are flowing and things are moving around and yet even when you, and of course, you know, you think about that and how you feel like you're moving all around. I mean, you know, if the waves go this way, I mean, you're washed this way. And then you feel like, I mean, to go that complete diameter to the other way, if you're out in the middle of the ocean, that'd be a long way if things just shifted, you know. And you're like, my gosh, you know, I feel like I'm loose. I'm, you know, being cast, I'm cast adrift. And the glory of God is what keeps you. Amen? It's God's mercy that keeps you, and you're confident that He's always keeping you. Amen? I mean, the world is a scary thing. The world, all the things that happen, it's scary. It's spooky. It's just, I mean, it's a lot going on. And to know that God is, He is your anchor, and your confidence is right there. And that's only by faith. And your confidence is there, and there is nothing that can shake it. See, most folks get shaken. Amen? Anybody ever got shaken? Oh, gosh. But the thing is to come and just come back to the Word of God, come back to the promise of God time after time after time again, and let Him say, let Him speak to you, let tell you that you're His anchor. All right? That He is your anchor. Well, erase that part of the tape. Is that He is your anchor. Amen? He is your anchor. God, who made the universe, is your anchor. That's powerful. That's an awesome word today. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good. It's good. Amen. Yes. Man, that guy's talking now. Hallelujah. Whew! Yow! What are y'all teaching him at home? Amen. Judah, that's a good testimony. That's a good testimony. Amen. Who's your dad? Amen. Another one? Man. Yeah.
I learned some more things, and this is so amazing testimony about the Lord. This before anybody prayed, and this girl does not know the Lord, and she is in total rebellion against Him. But it was like the vehicle burned to a glass burn. charred and destroyed. And when I saw her Monday, she was like unconscious and couldn't talk. And by Thanksgiving, she's already had the tube removed that's artificially causing her to breathe. And they said that she often has her eyes open and is talking and joking with people. And that's between like Monday and Thursday, you know? So, but you know, it's a testimony that the Lord rescued her out of that vehicle before anybody prayed, before she knew God, nothing. He was, you know what I mean? Just that he was active in her life despite her total opposition and just how the Lord's moving to heal her.
Amen.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Well, I mean, I had been praying for her just as my neighbor, but before anybody knew she was missing, before anybody knew that she was over in a car somewhere burning up, the Lord delivered her out of that car, you know? So I just think that's cool.
That's so powerful. Amen. Is that, yeah, and so several here have been praying just because you've been sending the emails out, you know, and that, hey, this girl needs prayer. Amen.
The girl would not have let you pray for her, probably. And Laura's not close to her, but all of her friends, this girl is homosexual, and all of her friends, they passed by all of her friends and called Laura to come identify her.
They couldn't reach
anybody
else.
For a week, and Laura didn't even hardly know her. And Laura's the one that got to go in ICU and identify her and therefore pray for her. So, I mean, that was amazing.
Amen. That's powerful. That's so powerful. That God, see, I'll tell you, God puts you in positions of ministry. God puts you in positions, people next door. It's like, you know, I mean, you meet people and see people that I'll never see. Amen. You see people and meet people Pastor Jim will never meet. Well, let me get you to meet him. Well, there's too many people. We can't meet that many people, but you can. Because you're filled with His Word. You're filled with His Spirit. That's what God set in place, isn't it? Is for you to be a demonstration of His glory in the earth. You're to be a demonstration of the power of God. That's who you, he that believeth, these signs shall follow the pastors. You know, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with them. No, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. We have to have an understanding that the church is not the guy at the front. You know. And then everybody, you know, at the end, or boo, you know, depending on if he preaches nice or preaches mean. No, it's about you trusting in the Lord. Amen? All right, here, let's go to Romans chapter 3 for a minute, and then we'll go some other places. Or actually, I always tell you something different just to throw you off. It's because my notes are always haphazard. Okay, 1 Ephesians chapter 2, but it's only one verse, and if you want me to read it to you, I will. Father, we just rejoice and glorify you and thank you that as we come together that you are always faithful to your word. Always faithful that your word doesn't go and produce nothing. Your word goes and produces that which you commanded it to do, and that which you purposed it to do. And Jesus was the Word of God made flesh, and you sent him forth. And he accomplished that for which he was sent. And it is our redemption, our complete redemption from sin. We were bound under the power of sin, and now it's broken. The power of sin is broken. The power that kept us on the earth, the power that kept us under bondage, the power that deceived us from the day in the garden, that power has been broken. And we are no longer under that power. We have been delivered from the power of sin. And we just thank you this morning, Lord, that you'll open our eyes and continue to show us these things so that as we live from day to day in this life, that we'll be trained and we'll be quickened in our minds to have understanding that sin doesn't have any dominion over us any longer, and we live according to every word that comes out of the mouth of God because we live by faith and not by sight. And we worship you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen? All right. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, and you has he quickened. You has he made alive. You has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, hallelujah, we can close the book now. I mean, we can close the book. This is powerful. You has he made alive who were dead. Well, that sounds like Jesus. Jesus was dead, and now he's alive. Guess what? You were dead, and now you're alive. If you've come to know, if you've come to know Jesus, you are alive, but you were dead. That's fun. That's exciting. That's good news to be alive when you were dead. Amen? Yeah, man, you know, yeah, but that was yesterday. Or that was last week, or that was 21 years, 3 months, 4 days, 6 hours, 2 minutes ago. You know, somebody's got their salvation date, time, hour, minute, and second down, but they forgot the value of it. See, because we get to living in this world. We become entangled. Paul says to Timothy, no soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this life. And boy, are we entangled. Anybody ever become entangled in the affairs of this life? You get entangled with your kids. You get entangled with your kids' affairs and your affairs and your husband's affairs. And what I'm talking about is business and stuff, not other stuff, but that too. But the fact is that God wants you to become entangled with His affairs. Amen? And that's why He delivered you out of the power of sin, so that you would become entangled in His affairs, and then His affairs would become the affairs of this world. Amen? His affairs become the affairs of this world through you. Me? Little old me. Yes, through little old you. I mean, I don't care. I don't care if you've got one child and one neighbor. You know, you don't know anybody. That one child and that one neighbor is your ministry, is your field of ministry. Amen? And not because you go out and grab them by the throat every week and threaten to send them to hell if they don't accept Jesus. No, it's you walking in love. You're walking in mercy. You're walking in peace. And you're a demonstration of the power of God. You're a demonstration of the living God in the earth. That's what you are, and that's who you are. And he said here in Ephesians 2, he said, you has he quickened, you has he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Okay, let's look at Romans, back over to Romans chapter 3 and then 5. Romans chapter 3, 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, Romans chapter 3, 20, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, this verse says two things. The first says that by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. No flesh shall be justified by doing law. By doing, you go back in this book, or you go and you just maybe forget the law of Moses. I don't live under the law of Moses. I live under the law of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, well, that's much better. I don't live under the law of Moses. I'm free from the law of Moses. Live under the law of Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do that one either. And even if you were to do that one, that wouldn't save you. Hallelujah. Amen? How is this good news? Why is it good news? Because it's not up to you to save you. You can't save you. You can't become justified by doing something. You can't maintain your relationship with God by doing something. Amen? You can't maintain it by performance, by doing. But believing is just receiving a gift. Receiving a gift is not a doing. Receiving a gift is not a good work. Amen? Receiving a gift is not a good work. You receive a gift because it's something you got to have, you need, you want, that's necessary. If somebody's given you a gift and you got to have that for living. It's that life saver, that life preserver somebody threw out to you. Was that a good work? You're drowning out there in the middle of the water. And was that a good work for you to grab that lifesaver? Huh? I don't think so. I think it was purely selfish motive. Amen? How many know that? Is to get saved and to take advantage of the promise of God is a purely selfish motive. There's no goodness involved in that. Amen. It's like, yeah, I'll take that. And you're grabbing at it because there's one for everybody. It's not like you're taking away from somebody else. You're not stealing from somebody else. God's got one with your name on it. God said it's His will that all be saved and all come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? That all men come to repentance. So that's part one of that verse. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. There's no justification in His sight by the doing of the law. Now, he says here at the last part, for it tells you what the law was for, any law. The law is for knowing what sin is. The law shows what sin is. Well, I know what sin is. No, you don't. The fact is, you got to know that the law is for one purpose, to expose all of your sin. The law is for that one purpose. See, and to come separate from that idea that doing something that is a law is going to help to bring me into God's good graces. You know what? I don't need God's good graces, because His grace is for me. I'm not trying to get His grace. He's, in fact, abundantly unloaded His grace on me. Amen? So you want to get in His good graces. That is His good attitude, on His good side. You know, I'm on God's good side. Hallelujah. You know, you're on God's good side. You're in Christ Jesus. You're on His good side. You're on His right. Where's Jesus seated? So these people are, no. See, it's like you shouldn't have a 13th floor in your building. I guess you shouldn't have a left side to your church. Amen? We just have one right side. We'll just get rid of the aisle and call it the right side. There's nobody here on the left side. So by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's it. That's what the law is for. It's so that you can know that you failed. So that you can know that there's no hope. And you know why God actually left it laying around? So you would daily know that there's no hope. I mean, you know, if it's when He sent Jesus, covered. He finished the law, completed the law. Well, why did He leave the law laying around? I mean, somebody might read it. Any of y'all read the law? You read it, you know, it's because you still got a flesh. And every day, that law will expose you. Every day, then, here's the point, is to make you grateful. Is to make me grateful, thanksgiving. Uh-huh. This is a good Thanksgiving message. Is that it's to make me thankful that He's already done it. I'm thankful that He's already finished the work. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, don't you get guilty when you sin? It pinches, because the law is still there to show me my sin. Oh, golly. Because I know that I am the beloved of God. I know that. What if bad things happen? I still know. You know, what did I do wrong? You're in a world with bad stuff. You're in a world with all kinds of bad stuff. Amen? Huh? Anybody found that? The world is not a great place. That's why it's going to burn up. God already He flooded it once. Now He's going to burn it up. How many know the world is not a great place? Huh? But the reason you're here is to demonstrate God's mercy and demonstrate His goodness. Amen? That's why you're here. That's why you remain here. Why didn't God just save me and kill me? Probably would have been more fun. Hanging out with Abraham. Hanging out with Moses. God, could I go over there? But then you're afraid to do that too, so, you know, because you're full of unbelief. Well, it might be nothing. Might be nothing there. Now, you just continue here. Just continuing in this word and in this promise is that God has already done all that is necessary for my life in Christ Jesus. He's already done all that's necessary. And in showing me the sin, my sins daily, what that does is, for somebody under religion, showing me my sins daily, what that will do is make me afraid that I didn't get it, or I didn't get something, I didn't get saved, I didn't get everything, God, or I'm not doing everything today that God wants me to do. Well, that's probably true. But that's okay, because He has also given me His grace to empower me by the Holy Spirit. He has empowered me and put inside me the Holy Spirit. So now here I'm going back and daily thanking Him, trusting Him for that Holy Spirit to bring to pass in my daily existence, first of all, just joy and thanksgiving in the knowledge of the salvation that He's already provided. Amen? First of all, get happy knowing that God's already saved you. First of all, getting satisfied that God loves me no matter what. Amen? He loves me no matter what. I'm absolutely the beloved of God. He's my dad. He's my dad. He loves me. I fall down. I mess up. I kill somebody. He still loves me. You know that? Whatever you've done, God still loves you. God loves you immensely, incredibly. He is just overflowing with love and mercy toward you. He is running down the aisle to get to you this morning. Amen? He's running down the aisle to get to you. He's going to tackle you with love. You know, just like the dad running to the son when he came home. And he went running. How many of you heard the song, When God Ran? God's running to meet you. And to know, he's just excited when you see his mercy, when you take it, when you take his mercy to yourself. Now, I don't care if you're 5, 10, or 105. You know, he wants you to come to him, and he wants you to know that everything that you have done has been forgiven. Everything. Amen? See, you're not going to get into the business of doing powerful work for God as long as you're still under your own sins. Huh? Amen. Well, I wish God would use me. Well, just get forgiven and get happy first. Amen. Nobody wants what you have when you're gloomy. Huh? Amen. I mean, you know, what is it you've got that I want exactly? Gloomy Gus. You know, you don't even know you're forgiven. Why do I want what you got? You know? I've kind of worked. People kind of work out their own deal, don't they? They kind of work out. They kind of get a kind of an even keel. That's what people do in this world. You just kind of get an. You can make up your own religion, and you kind of get yourself forgiven as much as you can, and that's kind of how you live, right? Anybody know people like that? That's what all religions are for: is guilt reduction. Amen. Make me feel good. I'm okay. You're okay. I don't condemn you. You don't condemn me. Let's just be happy. Then we get people like the Muslims who come along, you know, and nobody's they're okay, but nobody else is okay. Huh? So then we get scared of those people, so we got to turn around and go, well, we got to take them out. I tell you, God says, nobody's okay. Isn't that great? Nobody's okay. I'm not okay, you're not okay. How's that? You see, religious people are okay because they worked it out. Huh? Aren't religious people okay? That's just why they've got it worked out. I'm okay. I got it worked out. No, you're not okay. Every day you fall flat. Every day, see, that's what people don't like to hear, is every day you're a loser. Every day you're on the bottom. Every day you fall down. Every day you're a wicked, horrible sinner. Amen. In your flesh, but from the heart, you're clean. From the heart, you're clean because the Holy Spirit, the living God, has come in, come down from heaven. He has said, everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus paid for, is done for you. And you receive that? You accept? You receive His sacrifice? Yeah. You know, I would if I were. I would if I were you. You know, if I were you, I would take everything Jesus did and call it mine, because that's what He did it for. And now you're free. And now you begin to live in that. See, that's the biggest step, is the first step, is to walk in joy. Anybody here walking in joy today? You know, I've talked to people this week who are you know, here, and you know, I told them, be there Sunday morning. You know, we're going to get excited. They're not here because they're depressed. Amen? Well, I was too depressed to go to church. I'm too depressed to go to church. Thank God the rest of you made it. I don't know how you did. You just dragged yourself in here. Amen. I'm too depressed to go to church. Amen. I mean, so you know, I mean, here's where you get joy. Here's where you get built up. I know, they're afraid of y'all. Y'all have been condemning those people, right? Huh? When they come into church? You know, yeah, here they come. They weren't at church last week like we were. No. We just love those people. Don't you love them? Amen. Amen. It's awesome. It's so powerful. Don't you know that you are the goodness of God flowing by the Holy Spirit? The love of God? That's you. That's who you are. That's what you are. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. We'll kind of keep going here. Verse 12. Actually, I could just keep going, but you know, you feel like you got to get moving in this thing. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Well, we hate that guy. If I'd been there, things would have been different. If I'd have been there, things would have been different. No, they, I doubt it. Yeah, I'm better. I'm a better man than Adam. Certainly a better woman than Eve. That chick, she had a bad husband. That was her problem. Don't you know? Huh? Girls? I mean, she just had a bad husband. That was her problem. That's true, you know. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. Boy, I really want to kill that guy now. I mean, he did it to us. He did it all to us. You know, I would have done it. If you're not the guy that Adam was, then you need to back up. If you're not the woman that Eve was, you need to back up. Because you're the same. You're exactly the same. See, what that does is get you in the line for salvation. That gets you in the line for grace. That gets you in the line for mercy. I mean, where are you if you don't need mercy? Where does that leave you? Self-justified? If you don't need mercy? You know, what's joyful is that I need what God gave. God knew exactly what I needed, and I needed what God gave. And now that I've got it, I've got everything. And if I mess up, or if somebody messes with me, or if somebody dies, or if somebody does something wicked and evil, somebody close to me makes the wrong decision, you know that I'm still the beloved of the Lord, and I know that His grace and His mercy will cover me and cover my family and cover those who are near to me. Amen? I believe that. I believe that God is with me. I believe that He's not going to ever leave me or forsake me. Amen? Will you believe like me? Will you come with me? Why don't you come with me? I'm having more fun than you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on along. As by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. So in other words, there was sin all over the world, all the way through to the law. It's just the law wasn't imputed. People were rebelling against God. God notated it in the Scripture. It was in Genesis, wasn't it? He notated the whole thing. I mean, the whole book of Genesis, sin was in the world. The law didn't come till when? Exodus. The law didn't come till Exodus, but in all the book of Genesis, there was sin in the world. Read chapter 3. From chapter 3 forward, sin was in the world. But God did not impute the sin to them. They just going wild. Every man doing, you know, every man just doing whatever he wanted to do. And of course you look at Judges, and every man's still doing what was right in his own eyes. I just do my thing. That's after the law. For until the law, sin was in the world, but it was not imputed when there is no law. When there's no law to say that this is sin, you can't, it's not on the books. Well, I'm going to arrest you for this crime. What crime? What crime? There wasn't any sin. There's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. From Adam to Moses, death reigned. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. He was the figure of Jesus. Adam was a type of Jesus. He was the one from him proceeded everything else. Now from Jesus proceeds everything else. From Jesus proceeds everything else. If I'm in Jesus, he causes everything else to change. Hallelujah. That's big. You're thinking, oh, little Jesus, little baby Jesus, you know, died on the cross, I receive him as Savior. No, there's a major shift in the economy of God, major shift in the creation. There's major shift in the creation when Jesus died and was risen again. Amen? And you partake in that. You partake in that. You partake in that by believing. I'm just going to take it. Thank you. Hallelujah! God has set me free. I am free from sin. He's the figure of Him that was to come. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. So in other words, what the power of the death that was given at Adam, much more is the power of the grace that's given through Jesus Christ. The grace of God is much more powerful than the death that occurred at the day of the sin, at the day of the fall. God's grace is so powerful to you. Amen? God's grace overwhelms and fills. God's grace is as His creation. The same arm that created the planets and the earth and the skies and the universe is the same power and arm that created your salvation through grace. The power that was used by God to save you is the same power that built the creation. Amen? You are a new what? Creature. Creation. All things are of God. See, this new creation supersedes the old creation. This new creation supersedes the old creation. Every one of you is a partaker of the new creation. For if by one man's offense death reigned by that one, much more they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, capital O, Jesus Christ. So, what he's saying here is not in the same way. There was an act that affected all of humanity. But the act that affected humanity in Adam was minuscule in comparison to the act that took place in Jesus Christ by mass of power and authority and glory. In other words, if you had a small bomb and then you had a some other megaton nuke, that's about the difference between what Adam did and what Jesus did to fix it. Jesus fixed it real big. Jesus fixed it real certain. And Jesus fixed it real good. Right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Amen. It's not an even exchange. It's not tit for tat. It's like, you know, man, it was the big battle, you know. No, it's done. Because Jesus Christ overwhelmed the devil, making a show of him openly. Amen? Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it. You do have a free pass, absolutely. Forgetting our offenses, blotting out every writing that was against you, it's gone. Well, I know I've been accused. I know I've been written up numerous times. No, it's all gone. All the times you were written up, remember in school when you got written up? Some of y'all probably didn't even get written up. God was looking. He was writing you up. You were proud. Those have to do with works that we trusted in, works that we would have trusted in our own activity on the as we proceed under this. Because what we do, we'll get back under the law and we'll assume that doing good works is what's pleasing to God. And what the bema or the judgment seat of Christ is for the body of Christ is where we are set in front of the body of Christ. And now why are you here? Jesus. And those deeds that are done in and through Christ Jesus are basically those deeds which are done because you trusted Him and then He directed you. Whereas there are other deeds that are done because you had a different idea. You had a different thought pattern that said, okay, now that I've got to do things to make sure God's pleased with me. Only to the matter that our accountability has to do with sanctification, which is trusting God for our works to continue for any works that will be done. Any works that will be done. In other words, it's all Jesus. It's not Jesus saved you and now you gotta keep it up from here. See, that's so much of what we believe. So much of what's been taught is that Jesus saved you, now it's up to you to keep it going. He started the ball rolling, now you better keep it rolling. Huh? And the fact is, no, is that you continually are going to Him, and you're continually the branch, He's continually the vine. Any works that are done, any fruit that's produced comes through the vine, comes through Jesus, comes through Him. You are merely a branch off which the fruit is picked, you're a branch off which the fruit is gathered. And so that men see that fruit and can partake of that fruit and enjoy that fruit. Amen? Okay. Here we go. Yes, ma'am. All those works are burned up. The works that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm, exactly. All works that are done out of the flesh, all works that are done trying to fix up for God, trying to do good works on His behalf. And a lot of people, did not we do many mighty works in Your name? Didn't we do mighty miracles in Your name? Yeah, you trusted in those works. You trusted those. You trusted those as if they were something. You know? And then those works were burned up. Whoa! Where'd all my works go? You just, you know, barely got in by the skin of your teeth. That is just for reward's sake. You know? Now, if you're trusting for your salvation through works, we're talking about that right now, is that your works do not provide salvation. There is nothing. Every work that we do for the purpose of salvation is it's a nasty, filthy rag. Amen? And the rag he's talking about is a yucky one. I mean, it's something like you're going to offer to God a something that is just horrible to even a human, from the human standpoint. This is what, in context, you're offering to God as what He should accept for your good works. You don't have any. You don't have any. Faith alone. Faith alone is the only access. We have access. Romans 5 talks about here early in the chapter. It says, you know, we have, what does it say? It says we have access. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. So you have access. Woo, I like access. Like the card key. You know, you're going to the school or going to the, you know, swipe the key. I mean, it's part of the job. It's part of the package. You got the key when you got in. When they brought you into the company, you got your card key, you're in. No problem. It's like over at the Gaylord Hotel. You got that? It's a miracle. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't we need you? We'll need to have a banquet over at the Gaylord and go see Philip. Amen. He'll be near Grapevine. I like having him over there. All right, here let's look at 18 in chapter 5. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men, to condemnation. Even so, the righteousness of one, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, by the same, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That's why the law came in. The law came in so that the offense might abound. Well, that just sounds awful. Why would you want that? It was bad enough before the law came. You know, everybody was just sinning all over the place. But he says, the law entered that the offense might get bigger, be magnified. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So in other words, the bigger sin got, the bigger grace appeared. Amen? The bigger sin got, the bigger grace got. That means as much sin as you sin, grace is bigger. Now, I want you to hold on to that one. I want you to take that one with you. I want you to put it in your pocket. Next time you sin big, I want you to have the grace of God and pull it out and see how big it gets. The grace of God is big enough to cover any sin that you do and bring to you thanksgiving and gratitude for the love that God has for you. Amen? Always take God with you when you're sinning. Hallelujah. He's real portable. Because the Holy Ghost is in you. Amen. Anybody here saved? Anybody here, you've received salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? Anybody? 1, 2, 3. Okay, 3 or 4 people. All right. Hallelujah. Is that Jesus Christ died for my sin on the cross. And if I've received Him and that sacrifice as if He did it for me, that means I have received His sacrifice and I am born again. That is, I'm born from above. Now, anybody like that here? I'm born from above because Jesus Christ died for my sins and He rose again and He's coming for me. That's who I am. I'm born again. Now, I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. He came to dwell in me when I was born again. He lives in me. He's the earnest, the down payment of my inheritance. Here's a little bit of what you're going to get. Here's a little bit of the finished product is that Holy Spirit. And He's living in me. He lives in me. He lives in me. And now, as He's living in me and I'm going out and I've still got a flesh hanging off of me and I still, here comes Sister So-and-so and she's nasty to me all the time and she really got my goat today. And I really reamed her out, you know. Or here's the fella down there at work that he is just a jerk and an idiot and a sinner on top of that. And, you know, I didn't let him have it, but I hated him. I hated him quietly in my heart. Amen? So here are the things that we do. It's not the murders. It's not the stealing. You know, I don't think any of you went in and kept a quarter that somebody gave you in extra change. I just don't believe that at all. I don't believe any of y'all do that. Anybody read that email? Yeah, see, I'm not going to do that anymore. Yeah, the new pastor in town, he kept a quarter. The bus driver gave him a quarter extra change. He wanted to see if he'd keep it or give it back to him. The guy gave it back, thank God. Otherwise, that bus driver would have told everybody in town that the preacher's a thief. So, yeah, but I'm sure you guys wouldn't do anything like that, you know, keep any change or that wasn't yours. But I tell you, it's not those sins, is it? The ones we think of are murder, you know, things we would just never do. I believe in women's equality, don't you? Women sin as equal as men. Big as men, don't they? Huh? Yes, amen. Men sin big, but women do too. And children, boy, they really sin. They sin with impunity. You know? No, we don't do that. You tell your children, no. We don't do that. It looks like I taught you that. Uh-huh. And your point is what? That's why children get totally confused, don't they? Amen. So now, see, God wants you to know that as you're going about your daily existence, you're going about your life, and you're sinning all over the place, that God that you've got with you in the Holy Spirit, He is there to overpower that sin. And we're going to get to that here in a minute. But He's there to overpower that sin. Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God overpowers your sin? Muscles it down. You know, puts it in a headlock. Takes that sin down. Amen? You got a little army right there with you. Amen? Hallelujah. So the law entered that sin might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more. Everybody say much more. Grace did much more abound. See, this is the grace of God. This is grace-like. This is like overwhelming. This is like Thanksgiving gravy. You know, just pour it over. Okay, use too much gravy this week and just covered everything. God's grace is like, it just covers everything. He will. He will cover everything. Well, no, not too much. No, I want it all. I want more than enough. His grace will cover everything. Just dump it on me. Lord, thank you. You know, I'll tell you how it'll come, is as you thank Him. As you quit looking at your sins and you just thank God. You just open your mouth and close your eyes and walk around and just thank Him. Just thank Him. Just take every, walk around your whole house just thanking God. Walk around your whole backyard thanking God. Amen? Spend time thanking God. Spend time rejoicing. Spend time changing your mind. You're used to living without having your mind changed. You're used to living just by everything that comes every moment of every day, getting the tar beat out of you. Amen? Even by your own sins. Oh, you know. Oh, that happened. Oh, this happened. You know, anybody have stuff happen to you? You're just like, man, it just, one week it's okay, but the next week it just keeps coming and beating me up. I'm just going to walk and rejoice. No matter what happens, I'm going to walk and rejoice. Taking authority over my disappointment. Taking authority over my, that's good. Say that again. Taking authority over my disappointment. Taking authority over my self-righteousness. Taking authority over those things that come up and say, "Hey, you're not that bad. You wouldn't do that." Certainly, I would. Hallelujah. See, I want to be the worst so that God can cover me the most. Amen. Go ahead and be lousy. Go ahead and be the worst so that God can cover you the most. Amen? Be the biggest sinner. Paul said, I'm the biggest sinner. Well, he was. Paul said, I'm the biggest sinner. I'm the greatest of sinners. You know, I'm the off-scouring. I'm the stuff that's left after they scrubbed it off. Just the trash. See, God says He came for good people. No, He came for sinners. He's saying He came to draw sinners to repentance. And say, well, I'm talking to sinners who have repented. But I'm also talking to believers who don't believe. Now, what do they not believe? It's not that they don't believe that Jesus died for their sins. It's don't believe, they just don't believe that daily they're forgiven. And they don't believe that daily they walk in power over sin. Huh? And that you don't believe that daily you are growing in grace. That is, growing in grace, what that means is you begin to daily live more by that grace than by your sin. You overcome sin daily because He's given you authority over it, and you're believing that more than you believe that the sin has authority. That's what I believe more every day, is that the grace of God through me has more authority, and then what happens is sin begins actually to somewhat dissipate and not rule me as strongly as it had in the past. And there are other sins that come up that had just been plaguing me for years. But as I know the grace of God and how much He loves me, and then when the sin comes and is manifest and shows up, and I agree and say, yes, that's me. Let those sins come up. Don't deny them. Don't put them aside. As nasty, ugly as they are, don't put them aside. Let God's grace cover them. Because God doesn't come to you with a stick. Here's the difference. God does not come to you on your sins with a stick. He comes to you with chastisement and discipleship to train you what His grace has done for you. Amen? And causes you and shakes you loose and breaks up those sins that have overtaken you and kept you down. That's what discipleship and sanctification is about, is breaking loose the sins that have held you bound even in your flesh after you got saved. You want that. You don't want to be just declared righteous, imputation of righteousness. Okay, boom, you're righteous, which is true in justification. But for purposes of ministry in this planet, for purposes of doing the will of God, He will work on you and cause you to be a disciple, that is, one who becomes like His Master in the earth. That's what discipleship does. That's what chastising does. He chastises every son, daughter, whom He loves, which is you. And you don't have to be 10. You can be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. And God's desire is still to come to you daily and love, wrap His arms around you and say, listen, I love you so much, and I'm going to work this in you. You're going to know my love so much, and I'm going to clean you, and you're going to be a minister of glory for me. And you're going to receive every blessing and every benefit. See, He said we've received every spiritual blessing. Well, every spiritual blessing ends up in a natural blessing. Amen? It's just they start from Spirit. They sprout from Spirit. And everything else you need is going to show up. Everything else you need to fulfill your ministry is going to show up. Well, I wanted one of these and one of those. Well, tell you what, you just come spend time with me and you'll get everything that you want. You'll get everything that you want. Amen? You just don't know what you want. You try to fill it up with other stuff. You try to, you know, that's the thing. Is unbelief is just filling up. And sin is trying to get other things to fill up what God you perceive that God missed. You just think God missed it there. No. You just come in and spend time with Him. He'll show you how much He's going to fill you up with what you desire. You desire a relationship with Him. You desire a relationship with your Creator. That's what you desire. Well, honey, you know what I desire because God said it. God told me right here. Amen? Verse 20 there, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin has reigned to death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. So as sin reigned to death, grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace reigns. Woo! Yeah! Amen. Grace reigns. Amen? Awesome. The grace of God reigns. Yeah, do you believe that? Do you say that? Do you tell God that and thank Him for it? Say, grace reigns. Amen? Grace reigns in me. So what do we say then? Verse chapter 6. So what shall we say? What shall we say then? After all this, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Hey, let's just make grace bigger. And God, and then chapter 2, I'll retranslate this this God forbid, I said, that's stupid. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, let's just make it abound more and more. I'll just keep us sinning. So God will get glory. God forbid. Or like I said, that's stupid. How shall we that are dead to sin, here it is, live any longer therein? If you're dead to sin, the thing is, do you know you're dead? Do you know you're dead to sin? Well, it hasn't appeared to be so. There's a lot of things that haven't appeared to be so. But the fact is God said you're dead. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in there? That's a good question. If I'm dead to sin, how am I going to keep living in it? If I'm dead, if the part of me that sins is dead, how do I keep sinning? Don't you know that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, anybody know it's like 1 Corinthians 15 says that a seed has to be planted in the ground, it has to die. So you're like this seed, you've been planted, like Jesus. Planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, everybody say knowing. Say knowing. It's important to know things. Knowing this, that our old man. Man, see, you've got to tie that in. Knowing this. See, that's where you come into the Word of God. That's where you come into, that's why this was given to us. Thank God we got it in the last 500 years. I don't know what they did in the first 1,500 years of the church. How many know Paul didn't carry one of these around under his arm? Huh? Well, it just makes it harder to preach, doesn't it? See, they had most of it beforehand. They had most of this part. But see, these letters were floating around. And see, these were words that were carried out by word of mouth and shared, you know, time after time after time again, and copied and copied and sent on. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that hereafter we should not serve sin. See, you meditate on this. Come back to these scriptures here in Romans, and you meditate on these. Amen? You meditate on these. Meditate just means to chew it, like your cereal. In the morning. Crunch, 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 crunch. Chew on this. Take it, chew on it. It's like a cow chews his cud. He chews it and chews it and swallows it. And you know what he does then? Anybody know? Brings it back up and does it again. It was so good, we'll do it again. Now, how many times does a cow does that? Doesn't do that. Four, five, four, I thought. Maybe five. How many stomachs a cow got? How many stomachs you got? You get as much as you need. Bring it back up. Chew it again. Enjoy that again. That's why we got tapes. You can eat it again. CDs. Knowing this. I forgot this. How many of you forgot this? Knowing this. That our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that hereafter, from now on, we should not serve sin. Serve sin. It means you're working for sin. Sin's your boss. Sin's your God. You're working for sin. Amen. Not me. Now, does sin come? Does sin happen? Yes, it does. Am I forgiven? I go and confess my sin immediately and receive forgiveness. I receive the finished work. I confess that sin, I receive the finished work. The finished work. I don't spend time groaning and moaning and wondering why that happened. Why would I wonder why it happened? I still got this. Don't you have one of these? Anybody got one of these? Still flesh? You still living in this body? This body got sin all over it. So God has come in by His grace to set you free from sin. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 7 here in chapter 6, he says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Yahoo! Colossians chapter 3 says, "You are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God." You are dead. Do you know you're dead? "I don't think I'm dead. Pinch me." That's why when people sin against you, it doesn't bother you. You never did see Jesus jump on somebody's back, did you? Because he was mad at them, except those guys in the temple. Jesus never got all bent out of shape because somebody called him a name. Amen. Yeah, well, that was Jesus. No, this is you. Well, you are Jesus in the sense that he is living on the inside of you. Amen. The same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwelleth in you. Romans chapter 8. We're going to get there if we went far enough. Same Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you. Verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." I'm free. Amen? I'm done. I'm free. I'm freed from sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah is a good word. It's not just for charismatics. Amen? It's for Baptists. It's for Episcopalians. It's for Presbyterians. It's for Catholics. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a word of praise. It's a word of thanksgiving to the Lord. It's a word of victory. "He that is dead is freed from sin." That's me. "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." That means daily. I'm living with Him. You living with Him? We'll make a few more verses here and then we'll get there. "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over Him." Well, good for Him. "For in that He died to sin once, but in that He lives to God." That's Jesus. "Likewise," that means you, "reckon you yourselves." So he that is dead, he's talking about just kind of in general, he that is dead is freed from sin. Now verse 11 says, "Likewise," just the same as Jesus, "you reckon yourself." You count yourself. Write it down. As yourself is dead. Write it down. Make a daily reckoning. Daily reckoning. A daily reckoning. That is a daily, take a daily tally. Okay? Take a daily tally of your relationship to God. What is it? I'm dead. I'm freed. I'm freed from sin. That's what a reckoning is. Is a taking an accounting. You're making an accounting. And the accounting every day says you're free. So no matter what the enemy comes up with, no matter what your head comes up with, no matter what your mind comes up with to accuse yourself or to get under condemnation, you account, you get back here and you account yourself as righteous before God because of His grace. Then you repent, that is, confess your sin. Confessing your sins, you're cleansed from all unrighteousness. Amen? As you're just receiving the finished product, the finished work that Jesus has already done. "Likewise, therefore, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin." Just like Jesus was dead to sin. Well, that was Jesus. No, no, no! Read it again. I want to slap you with my Bible. Amen. At least with this page. "Likewise, just like Jesus, you reckon yourself to be dead to sin." Now here comes the sin. It's going to happen. You're going to do it. No, I'm dead to that. When you see it coming, just declare you're dead to that. Because, go back to verse 6, it says knowing this. So you know this. This is what you know. Here it comes. Sin's coming. It's going to come ravage you. Sin is going to come have its way with you. Amen? Sin is going to say, "You're going to do what I tell you." And you say, "No, I'm not going to do what you tell me. I'm going to do what Jesus already gave me. I'm free from sin. He that is dead, I'm dead. I'm freed from sin. I'm dead. I'm freed from sin." Anybody agree with me? Anybody agree with the Holy Spirit? Anybody agree with the Word of God? Say, "I am dead." Say it. Likewise, reckon yourself. Reckon yourself. Come on now. You know, if I were to pick somebody out, let's see here. Who can I pick? Amen. Let's see here. Ain't nobody good here I can repent. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Okay? Let's see here. Tim, are you dead? Are you dead to sin? Have you reckoned it already? Amen. I reckon. How many know God's Texan? He reckons. That's right. It's good. I reckon. That's it. See, he's dead to sin. Now, I'll tell you what. If you're by yourself, if you're, you know, and sin is coming, how many know that we just, any of y'all cave to, you know, don't raise your hand, cave to sin because you didn't believe this? You heard it. You'd heard it. I'd heard it before. But I didn't really, I mean, after all, sin was walking in my front door. It was going to have its way with me. I mean, I'm so used to inviting him in. Yeah, come on in. Let's have our beer. You know, most people we have coffee, but this sin comes in, we have a beer with him. Huh? Beer's fine. Just don't drink too many of them. Boy, am I going to get in trouble for that one. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, I can stop preaching on Be Not Drunk, but I'm not going to. But it does say that. Likewise, reckon yourself. So I want you to reckon yourself to be sick. God wants you to reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign. Because you are dead, let not sin reign. Now, what that does not mean is it does not mean that muscle up, like most of you do, by God, I'm not going to sin. And you get run over by it. You get run over by it because you're doing it in your own strength. Because you're muscling up and your muscles are no good. You reign over sin and you let not sin reign because you believe that this is that you're risen with Christ, that you're dead unto sin. You reign against over sin because you already have believed. And see, that's where meditating on the Scripture comes in, is that you've got to always live in heaven. Amen? You've got to always live in heaven. Always live in heaven. Always live in heaven. Quit living in the earth. Quit living on the planet. Hallelujah. I know you're putting up your Christmas decorations. Me too. But quit living on the planet. That is, as far as your meditation and your reaction to what people do and the circumstances that come, you're no longer living here. You are dead. Amen? And your life is hid with Christ in God. And sin doesn't have any more dominion over you. Amen? You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with joy, peace, thanksgiving, and running over. Let not, therefore, sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lust thereof. That you should obey it. Now, come on, you obey me. You're used to obeying me, said the sin. No, don't have to obey you. No, I believe in Jesus. I'm free. I'm free from you. I've got all my needs supplied. I don't need your help anymore. Sin just helps you. Helps you feel better. Amen? Helps you feel better. It's an escape so you can feel better. You don't need to feel better. I'm dead. I don't need to feel better. How much better can you feel? Hey, if you're dead, you're not sick anymore. Amen. I've never known anybody who's dead to be complaining about sickness. Amen. So let not sin therefore reign. Let not. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield. Don't yield your members. Here you go. It's kind of like taking your arm off and giving it to somebody. Here. You know, here, I'll yield my member. I'm not going to use this arm today. I'll give it to you, Mr. Sin. Yield your tongue. Anybody yield in all kinds of parts to sin. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but rather yield them yield yourself to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, yielding yourself to God, because the Holy Spirit actually is moving through you. Amen? He's moving through you. Did you know the Holy Spirit loves you and He moves through you and His desire is to fulfill all the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? And you know how He does it? He does it through you. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sally, write a song. Write a song out of that verse, 14. Sin shall not have dominion over me. You don't have to move like that. Sin shall not have dominion over me, DDD. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Isn't that funny? Look at that scripture. Sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under law. If you're under law, sin has dominion over you. But if you're under grace, it doesn't. If you're under law, you're trying not to sin. If you're under grace, you're done with sin. You're freed from sin. You've been totally freed. It's not that you're not freed from righteousness. That is, I don't have to do the law anymore. You're freed from sin. So righteousness just begins to flow. Because you're walking with God. You're living with God in the Holy Spirit. This is big on your head. This is a big mind trip. This twists your head sideways. Because the enemy has set you in a particular mindset in this world. The whole world is built around sin and guilt reduction. God came in and He set us free from that whole thing. Amen? So we're just living to God. We just go at the straight pipeline from me to God. Even though I'm living in this world, I've got a tether and I'm living with God. Amen? And my body still gets beat up by the world. You know? It's like one of those guys on those Coast Guard helicopters and he's on a tether and he's lowering him down to go rescue somebody down there in the water. Well, what happens when you on the end of the tether and you hit the water? Bam, bam, bam. You just get beat. That waves and water just beating the tar out of you. You know, God! Up! No, save that guy. Bam, bam. You're just getting the tar beat out of you down there. You could just, you know, kick the guy and say he's dead. You know, okay, pull me up. He's dead. I can't help him. Can't save him. No. You're getting beat up because you got a body. You got one of these world bodies. Amen? Anybody got a world body? Yeah, I do. Yeah, it gets beat. It gets buffeted. But you know what? The love of God that is flowing from heaven through me, that's what I believe. Is that, you know, I don't count this body as anything. Now, there are times I admit that I do. I'm just tired. Amen? But I tell you, I'm not agreeing with that. I'm not going to agree with my body. Doesn't mean you don't take care of your body. Doesn't mean you don't get any rest. That's not what it means. But what it does mean is that you don't count it as dear. Because you know God's going to take care of you. It's like Jim said, your body's going to last until you're dead. His body will last until you're dead. So thank God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? That's stupid. Don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, whether of sin unto death or of obedience to righteousness? But God be thanked. Thank God. That you were the servants of sin, were the servants of sin, underline that, were, past, can you write in your Bible? If you can't, throw it away and get one you can. That's what Brother Hagin or somebody said. That's not original, but it's good. If you can't write in your Bible, throw it away and get one you can write in. Or get one of them $1.49 jobs you can write in. Except then the print's so small you can't read what you wrote. But God be thanked thank God, thank God, thank God that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So you obeyed from the heart, that is, you believed. You believed that form of doctrine, that is, Jesus Christ, died for your sins, was buried and raised again for your justification. That doctrine right there. And it was delivered to you. And you believed that from your heart. Being then, right then, being then, that is therefore, but being also right then, made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So in the instant that you were born again, you became a servant of righteousness rather than a servant of sin. You're hooked onto that tether, to that helicopter right there. God can pull you, pluck you out, and deliver you onto the next guy like Philip. You know, Philip's there walking along, you know. He said, Holy Spirit told him, here's this guy reading, says, go join yourself to that chariot. Well, chariots are moving pretty quick. Go join yourself to that chariot. You know, well, that's fast. I think Elijah did that too. You know, Elijah ran and beat the chariot. Like the $6 million man. That's what a guy filled with the Holy Spirit does. He can run like the wind. Beat a chariot. Show up at the other end. Hey, what you doing? Thought I got away from you. Now you can't get away from God. So you went up and he with that Ethiopian eunuch. And he read to him and didn't know what he was reading. He explained to him the gospel. He said, could I get baptized? Yeah, you can get baptized. Plump. And the minute he came up, Philip was gone. Speedy Gonzalez. He was gone. God and the Spirit of the Lord caught him away, and he was known to be somewhere else. See, God could pluck you out of that. Remember the illustration of the helicopter? He can just pluck you out and move you somewhere else. God can just pluck you out and move you wherever He wants to move you. You believe that? You agree with that? Amen. See, God's going to, He does supernatural and mighty things. So I just want to agree that with you, that God's just going to use you mightily because sin doesn't have any dominion over you. I tell you once, sin is not about not sinning. It's about ministry. It's about walking in the Holy Spirit. It's about walking by faith and knowing that God is with you and that the Spirit of God is causing great miracles to take place in you because you're not bound by sin. There are many who have been bound by sin and delivered from great sin. And the Lord has begun to use them in mighty ministry because they know they're free. Amen? And some of you are down underneath, down on the bottom today, thinking that God can't do that for you. No, absolutely not. As you believe that God has loved you and that His desire is to use you and that He has set you free from sin, is that sin doesn't have dominion over you. I've known all kinds of preachers who were doing great miracles and they were in sin too. Well, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Having that relationship with God by the Holy Spirit, with your Father, by the Holy Spirit, that sin doesn't have dominion. Somebody forgot that. Somebody separated works from having a ministry. You can't. Because your ministry will just fall apart. You won't have a ministry for long. Your sins will find you out. He that is dead is freed from sin. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Amen. Amen. One last thing. Yep, we're done. Well, I'll read this. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in sins, He has quickened us together by Christ, and He has raised us up to, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, not our workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, to the end, to the purpose, for the purpose of good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. He's already ordained it. Amen? Lord, we magnify You. We worship You. We thank You. We praise You. We lift up the name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord God. We speak great things, Lord, because You have already delivered us from the power of sin. And we thank You, Lord God, that there is no sin shall not have dominion over me any longer, because it's dead, because I'm dead. The law is no is the law doesn't bind me. It's the Holy Spirit that draws me. And Father, we thank You right now that we are freed because we're dead. We are dead to sin and alive unto God. And we just give You praise that as we meditate upon these things day and night, we don't let these things depart out of our mouth. We in fact continue to speak them and to say them and to know them and to walk in them. That even though sin comes, we repent of it. We repent of it quickly. And we say, Lord God, thank You that we walk in joy. We walk in peace. We walk in thankfulness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Anybody have a testimony? That bless anybody? Do anything for anybody? Hallelujah. Amen. Whoa. You like that? Zip it right up. Anybody? Philip.